But let us give our undivided morning. The scripture reading is found in Psalm 34. At this time, we will read the entire Psalter. A Psalm of David. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no one to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. After sermon, we'll sing Psalter 83. Let us read again our sermon text, Psalm 34, verse 19 this time. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. People write songs for various occasions. For example, when you celebrate a wedding occasion or a birthday, always there is a singing part to celebrate such special occasions. However, even though the birth is a great gift, life has many sorrows and tribulations in the world. And what about marriage? Surely it is a great joy to be united with one's spouse in holy matrimony. But there are many marriages that face serious challenges even soon after the wedding. So there are different songs in the Bible. In one hand, there are songs that celebrate such special occasions, like the joys of salvation and great thanksgiving. And there are many psalms like that in the Bible. But also there are songs about sorrows and difficulties in life. The Bible is honest about those difficult moments of life, the sufferings, tribulations. It doesn't hide the reality of what people go through in daily livings. Psalm 34 is such a song unto God in which there is much joy, but there is also the honest perspective on afflictions in life. It is from this inspired song, Psalm 34, we'd like to consider this theme. The theme is the hope of the righteous in afflictions, a reason for singing. And we will consider 3 points under this theme. First, the person who has this hope. Second, the testing of this hope. And third, the realization of this hope. This beautiful psalm can be divided into 2 parts. The first 10 verses are basically praises unto God, starting with the call of worship in verse 1. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. The rest of Psalm, beginning in verse 11, is more like a sermon. He wrote to teach the children. He says in verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So this psalm itself is a complete guide for worshiping God. And besides, this psalm carries with it very unique characteristic in that each line begins a Hebrew alphabet. Verses 1 to 22 begins in consecutive manner. It begins a Hebrew alphabet. And this was a literary device to help people to memorize this very unique psalm when they need it. And rightly, it can be called the A to Z of Christian worship for God's people. The title of this psalm gives us some explanation as to the occasion of this psalm. Psalm 34 refers to the narrative of 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 to 15. In that narrative, David was running away from Saul, the king. David wrote this psalm when he had to escape from the king of Gath, Abimelech, where he had sought shelter. Abimelech was the king of the Philistines at the time. And David thought that because he was chased after the king Saul, he could find this refuge in the land of the Philistines. But his calculation was not working. As soon as he entered into this land of the Philistines, people began to recognize who David was, the one who defeated Goliath. So David quickly had to come up with his plan B, and which was he had to act as if he was a mad person. He, out of desperation, acted mad by foaming at the mouth and scratching and scribbling on the wall. And David was at the end of his wit. But as our psalm makes clear in verse 6, David had cried unto the Lord, and the Lord had delivered him. And from that experience, David learned a very precious lesson. That is, the afflictions fall upon the righteous. We need to know what David means with the righteous. Is David righteous? Yes, to some degree. We all would like to confirm that statement that David was righteous. There are certainly tangible and visible positive aspects regarding the life of David. He was such a man after God's heart. But to be honest, David was also committing serious crimes later in his life. Can we still say that he is the righteous? If we consider his own sins and sinfulness, we cannot say with perfect standard of God that David is righteous. But who then is righteous? This hopeful praise can only be rendered by the righteous. The righteous are mentioned so many times in various psalms. Psalm 1:6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Again, Psalm 5:12 says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." The contrast of the righteous and the unrighteous repeats in so many psalms. And even in this psalm, Psalm 34, the righteous and the unrighteous seems to be repeatedly emphasized. Verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Verse 21 says, "And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate." It is true that David was suffering without any specific cause here, yet that is not what David means here. The idea of being righteous before God does not have to do with what we do or what we have done. This is the legal idea of being considered by God as righteous. In Psalm 32, two psalms before this, David writes, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Only by faith in Jesus Christ one is considered righteous before God. Dear congregation, this morning I would like to challenge you by asking you to consider your own state before this God. No one can be righteous by keeping the law of God. The Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:10. The comfort of this psalm is only for the righteous before God through faith alone. But if you are a believer today, no matter how much you may suffer, if you are not a believer today, no matter how much you may suffer, there is no hope for you if you remain as you are. Have you tried to keep God's law so that you may become righteous? What happened? The Bible says, in no unclear terms, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. There is no real hope except by believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Therefore, there is every reason for you to ask for the Holy Spirit today so that you may also receive faith and that your eyes may be open and you may believe. Seek God today, even in your hardest trials. Come and believe in Jesus Christ, whose person and work is the sole foundation for any righteousness before God. May His obedience to God in all the law and even to the point of death on the cross become precious to you, because without this, no one can be righteous before God. If you, by grace, believe in Jesus Christ, if you find yourself as a true believer this morning, then you are justified by faith, not by works. God views you righteous in Jesus Christ. However, as we will see, that doesn't mean that trials and afflictions don't come. They do come. And as it was with David, God may test the hope of the righteous for His own reasons and purposes, as we wish to see in our second point, the testing of this hope. Dear congregation, our text tells us that the afflictions of the righteous ones are many. Literally, in Hebrew, it says, "Many the evils to the righteous." Many the evils to the righteous. It starts with the word "many," as if to emphasize it, not just a few, but many upon many. This was personally true for David, who wrote this psalm after a time when his afflictions had piled up one after another. Wherever David went, he could not rest. He was surrounded by the enemies everywhere. David was in great fear too because of that serious circumstance. His move to Gath was making the situation worse against him. Have you also experienced the challenging realities like David? Can you relate to this word, many, one after another? It seems like unending trials. This psalm states that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why so many? There are a couple of reasons why we believers should face the reality of such extensive sufferings. First, we are born as sinners, so we are all subject to the afflictions due to our own sins or the sins of others around us. It's true that often our trials are not the direct result of our sins. But without sin, we can say that there would be no trials, tribulations, and afflictions. The scripture also says, we are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, which happens all the time. Second, the Holy Spirit uses afflictions to awake sleeping sinners. One pastor said that when other milder measures fail, God many times resorts to this painful procedure, the iron of furnace, to awaken the sinful to see that earth's day is not eternal and to remind them of their accountability before God. God may cause conversions out of these serious testing afflictions that people must still go through. A third reason may be that afflictions are given for a yet unknown purpose. There have been great saints like Job or Joseph who had to suffer without a due reason. Job's three friends wrongly accused Job of his possible sins. And we all know this in our own lives or in the lives of God's saints. Sometimes it's not very clear why such afflictions and testings are given to the people that we know of. But we know that God has His own plan, specifically through those difficult times. Joseph suffered greatly for the salvation of many people in Israel. And the Lord turned Joseph's affliction into great good for many people. Finally, the Holy Spirit may use the afflictions to sanctify his children. Father, there is a limitation without sufferings when God sanctifies his children. But God could use that means in his hand to sanctify his children further. One pastor writes, there are some depths and heights which can only be reached by severe sufferings, and nothing but personal experience can give the soul this attainment. And you know that how the marathon runners train themselves in preparation the marathon, and they try to subject themselves to very difficult situation to expand their lung capacity. So they go to the higher level of places, and they would like to train there because there is less oxygen available. And when they come down over down out of those high places, then they have advantage of having trained their lung. And the Lord sometimes has to use severe situations to sanctify God's people. Psalm 119 also says that before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Another pastor writes, God often washes the eyes of his children with tears so that they may see his commandments better and read his precepts aright. Dear congregation, this morning I have to ask you this question. What have those trials done in your life? What have those trials done in your life? Trials test our hope, sometimes beyond understanding. Do trials drive you back to the Lord to cry to Him? If that happens, it is indeed good for us to have been under the affliction. That's what happened in this case in David's life. As you can see in verse 6, he cries unto the Lord like a beggar. David did not stay with his fear. Rather, he became humiliated through the afflictions, and he sought God in those sufferings. By God's grace, he could look to God. He cried as a poor man because David had no other options but crying unto the Lord. His hands had become empty. His own wisdom and inventiveness failed him. With all his poverty, he needed the Lord, the covenant-keeping God. Then, how could he look to God? He could look to him because one day there would be the Son of David, Jesus Christ the Savior, who would be afflicted in every way. Much evil would come upon him. And he was righteous in a way that David never ever was righteous. He was righteous in thought, word, and deed. As the God-man who had come into our sin-stained world, our evil world, on his holy head and soul fell many afflictions, and not for himself, but for people like David and people like you and me. Have you realized that your sin nailed this Savior to the cross? He was willing to take the place of David. Because of him, there can be hope for people like you and me. And the realization of this hope, as we see in our third point, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord. If the scripture ended with the first part of this verse, then we wouldn't have any joy and hope out of afflictions and dire sufferings. But the Holy Spirit used the author David to give us that true hope and in its realization. This psalm is full of hope and convictions of God's help. He even commands at the children, saying, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." That's why Apostle Peter could quote this specific psalm in his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 3. In those days, people were suffering and persecuted just because they were Christians. It was not like our days where we have here relative freedom to come and gather every Sunday, week after week, without such visible persecution. But those Christians in the first century had to risk their lives just to believe in Jesus Christ. And they were not doing anything wrong, but on the contrary, they were trying to do good for their neighbors. And still, they had to be under such persecutions. And Peter was using this psalm to encourage the hope in the believers. What David experienced is not just for himself, but for all in all times and places who seek deliverance with the Lord. Regarding this deliverance, we can say four things. First, the Lord saves the righteous because of His covenant. We see here capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the covenant name of the Lord, Jehovah. He is true to His name. He is faithful. How true it is that whosoever calleth upon His name shall be saved. Do you know this God as your personal God in Jesus Christ? We know that He created the heaven and earth, but is He also your personal God who knows your own tribulations in your own heart, in your hidden life? He is the covenant-keeping God who never forsakes the works of His own hands. He hears your cries. He knows your situations. Second, the Lord saves for the sake of Christ. The Lord saves for the sake of Christ. This deliverance cannot reach you or me without the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why verse 20, right after our sermon text, it speaks of something of Jesus Christ. He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and none of His bones was broken. And John, that's why, quotes this Psalm 34 verse 20 to show how exactly the promise of God has been fulfilled. Do you know how many bones are there in the body? An adult would have more than 200 bones. And the most minute detail was realized through this messianic prophecy. Not one bone is broken in Jesus' body. People mockingly said to Jesus on the cross, "Save thyself and come down from the cross." But God the Father spared all the bones of His Son. And even then, Jesus Christ satisfied God's justice for sinners through His suffering, cross, and His own death. Jesus obeyed perfectly to the point of His own death. Jesus Christ confirmed this satisfaction and obedience through His resurrection. Now He is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Because of that, there can be deliverance. All sinners under any afflictions are called everywhere, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Do you hear the call to you this day? Are you afflicted? Do you sense that your life is going through one difficulty and another? The psalmist says, "None of them that trust in Him shall be desolate." And this refers to the greater one than David, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered greatly upon the cross. You may feel crushed. You may feel being shattered under the current afflictions. But God can save you through Jesus Christ. The messianic prophecy about His bone and His resurrection proves God's saving power. Thirdly, the Lord saves sinners not only in their afflictions, but out of their afflictions. We may rejoice in the Lord today knowing that one day we will be completely free from the sufferings that we go through in our life here. one day we will enjoy the complete liberation from the power of Satan and the power of the sin and death and the world in this world. Are you experiencing the pains of sins through your afflictions now? Do not stay in that miserable condition. Seek God who can save you both now and forever out of all such miseries. Finally, the Lord delivers totally. Notice this word, all. Out of all their afflictions, He delivers His people not just from some, but from all. Not just the big ones, not just the little ones, but from all. I do not know what trials you are going through at this particular time, but trials often repeatedly distress the one who is going through that trials in body and soul. In many other different ways. But the promise is here that the Lord could save us from all those, all kinds of trials. The trials that you never expected in one's life. Not everything is smooth and easy for a Christian. Even more afflictions for Christians, God's people. This great hope of salvation has been realized in Jesus Christ. And it will continue to be realized into our future forever. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, the same forever. Every kind of affliction can be used as an opportunity to know God. We do not need to wait until we experience every single affliction out there concerning our body and soul and mind in order to say that the Lord delivereth him out of all afflictions. This is the hope of the believer. God's word makes it clear. God does not lie. He will deliver us out of them all now and especially at the end of our lives when we live this life. And trials and evil can never again reach the child of God. My dear friends, how do you cope with the loss of trials in this life? How do you process all these sufferings and miseries over your own lives and also in the lives of other people? There was a man named Mr. Hutchinson, and he accumulated so much wealth throughout his life, and it was about time for him to leave this world. And he was very fearful because he was not going to use all those materials that he accumulated in his life. And also he feared to think that after he died, there will be party going on in this world. And he didn't have that hope he needed when he was about to leave this world. Do not despair, but believe in God. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Are you crying today? Cry as you are. If not, I'm afraid that you may not have that hope in the midst of severe trials and afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all, it says. Finally, there is a great difference between the true Christians and those who are not. It is clearly not true that the Christians would not have afflictions, but rather the other way is much more likely. God uses afflictions intentionally to renew Christ in our own hearts. The Christians would cry out to God with faith. His heart may have been broken. His spirit may have been severely crushed under severe afflictions. But he may still get closer to God with all those afflictions. On the other hand, the non-Christians would not fear God and would not seek God even with afflictions. Verse 21 threatens, as it says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Flee today to Christ and be ye saved in him. David is singing this psalm of praise. Are you also singing hopeful praises unto God, even under sufferings? You need not to lose your heart in Christ. I'd like to close this sermon with the last portion of the song of Robert Murray McChain, Jehovah Tzkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tzkenu, my treasure and boast. Jehovah Tzkenu, I never can be lost. In thee shall I conquer by blood and by field, my cable, my anchor, my breastplate and shield. Even treading the valley, the shadow of death, this watchword shall rally my faltering breath. For while from life's fever my God sets me free, Jehovah Tzkenu, my death song shall be. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. Let us. Gracious Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy gracious providence in life, including those dark ones. We claim, Lord, thy help based on this reason of singing in the midst of afflictions. We pray for every single one of those who are going through such trials and difficulties at this time. Be near to them, carry them through the tunnel until they see thy goodness and thy help. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.